Last week I shared some things with us concerning restoration. We talked about God restoring the church. We were looking in the book of Joel, and in the book of Joel, Joel was speaking some things that definitely dealt with the end time. They dealt with the things that were going on at that time. They were really, Israel was under judgment. Judah was under judgment for they got away from God, and really natural disaster came to their land through locusts and things, which ended up eating up all the crops and everything, the trees, everything. And really, they were left with nothing. Their animals and stuff were dying. There was no vegetation, so things were really tough. But in the middle of all that, they had gotten in trouble and done wrong. But God had the prophet tell them that if they would turn back to him, he would restore to them. And really, he went to tell them that basically that they were going to, if they turned back to him, they'd harvest a crop that year. And that's a pretty astounding thing that would take place. But God could sure make that happen. And but we're dealing in the areas of restoration. And today we're going to talk about Christ is cleansing the church. And really, this has to do with restoration. It's still part of the same message, and because God's working, one of the things that God told them, if they wanted things to turn around, they had to turn back to him. He said the priests, and he named everybody down to the children, people needed to turn back and turn to him and call out for him and ask him to help them and remove the reproach off of them as a people. And so we have today, we're going to be looking, because Christ, we're living in this time period. This is what God's talking about. 2012 is a time for people to return. It's time for the church. Understand the move of God. People talk about this great move of God coming. The move of God, you guys have heard me say this so many times, the move of God comes through people. It doesn't just happen. It comes through people. God has people that he moves through. You follow Scripture. It don't just up and happen. It happens through people. God anoints people to do things. He uses people. What God is looking for, God's desire is to move a powerful way, not only in our nation, but in the world. He wants to move. God is looking for people that he can use. God can't use everybody. He can't use all the Christians. He can't use them. They're not in a position to be used. So God, what? He wants people. He wants to restore people. And the restoration process, we're going to be talking about that. When we talk about restoring something, no matter what it might be, years ago I used to, sometimes I refinished a number of pieces of furniture and different things like that. Well, what you do is, to restore, sometimes to restore something, maybe you can restore a finish on something, that the finish might not be that bad that you can turn around and restore that finish. Sometimes you can't. To restore something, you'd have to completely remove a finish. So, in a sense, something is going to be restored, whether you have an automobile, an older automobile you want to restore, or whether it's furniture, or whatever it might be, something you want to restore. If you're going to restore it, it depends on the condition it's in. Everything's not, some things can be repaired or fixed quick. Some things can't. But God wants to restore. God can restore anything. But we need to know this as a people. It has to do with us turning to him, allowing him to do it. We really live in a terrible problem in our age today. Especially, and I'll say concerning our land and of America. And it's one thing is the church has gotten way off base, and they ended up preaching a grace of God that is not true. It's a grace of God that leads men to sin and not to righteousness. It leads men to follow unholiness instead of holiness. It's a fact that, well, you, God's grace, you can just about do anything, but you're under the grace of God. You're going to be all right. Well, it's not working if you hadn't noticed. We had Tony Cook, who was an instructor at Rhema Bible Training Center when I was there. And my wife and our family were good friends with his family. Tony is still an excellent Bible teacher, great Bible teacher. Tony taught the subject of grace, but Tony made this statement. He said, if you could live better under law than grace, that's a disgrace. And really, whether people like it or not, the church of America is disgraceful. Because they live like hell. Generally, the church lives like hell. Generally, the church, it's hard to tell between the world and the church when it comes to lives. It's hard to tell for many people. I run people all the time, and you dear one of them, well, we're Christians. And you think, dear God, I would have never even had an inkling nor an idea that they ever even knew there was a Bible, nor if there ever was such a thing called the church. They live such lives. Well, we turn around, but we also have today, really, people who have been misled and beguiled by satanic powers through the church, through the preaching of the church. You know, we have today what they call these, these churches that are seeker-friendly. And what they become is places of sloppy grace. You know, listening to preaching, Kenneth Hagin talked about, and he talked about this years ago, about people sitting in churches here in America. He wasn't talking about just some denominational church. He said the things that people preach. He said their pews are loaded with people who are not saved. Loaded with them. Jesus Christ spoke to him in a vision, and I've talked about this before, and gave a prayer that a person believed it and prayed it, they would be saved. It is an amazing thing to me. I had yesterday doing a Everett Flicks Memorial Service, and I talked about Jesus. An older gentleman said to me after it was over, he said, "I really liked what you said." He said, "You talked about Jesus." He said, "You don't hear my preachers today." He said, "I don't get it. They don't talk about Jesus. They talk about God all the time. They don't mention Jesus. I sit and listen to preachers on TV, and you'll never hear the name of Jesus come out of their voice. They're talking about God, nice stuff, good stuff, all this stuff. But Jesus, you'd never even know there was a Jesus." You know, I had read an article one time about, you know, it's a cartoon. They do it, an animated thing. We use them in sometimes with our children's ministry. But anyhow, found out that Muslims were using them. They found out Muslims used them because they never talked about Jesus in most of them. Talked about God. Well, they use those principles of good things talking about God. Salvation's only under one. You can talk about God day and night and nobody ever gets saved. People don't get saved talking about God. You know what? You ain't never going to amount to much as a Christian running around talking about God all the time. I live in victory because of Jesus. Jesus won me my victory. See, people, we have, today, there's really a lot of good principles taught to the Word. Principles don't save men. Principles of faith don't save you. Principles of things of the Word don't save you. They don't keep you walking and living a good life. You can know all the right stuff. You know, you could go to a school and learn all the kinds of things about a subject, but never live that stuff, never work in that field, never do a thing, but yet be full of knowledge of it, but never done it. We need to know that there's something different. That we can't be doing this. We can't just know good principles and good stuff. If they're not lived, they are of no value to anybody, especially you. The Word of God is not valued by said, it's valued by done. It's not valued by said, it's valued by done, by doing it. That's the value of it. Knowing what to do. I don't care if I can quote all the scriptures. What do I do when a bad situation comes? More people fail that know what the Bible says, but yet they fail. Because it's what they do is causes them to fail. See, success is in doing. Thank God. To know the truth, the Bible says, would set you free. But understand what that word know means. It means have knowledge, awareness, and understanding. It don't mean just, I've heard it, I know what it says, I can repeat it. That don't set you free. You can hear all the things about what you need to do. And so God wants to work in a church. There's a cleansing that has to come to the church. It has to come to you and me. It's about you and I committing ourselves more to God. I don't know, if you think you're committed enough, you've done better than I have over the years. Because I always find out the more I grow, the more I realize, the more committed that I have to get about things. The more I realize that, you know, I haven't come to a place of a plateau where I have arrived, that now that we're there, you know. Wow, it's a holy watch out. Because if you have come to that point, you're probably the biggest sinner in the bunch. You come to that place because just by your ego, you've arrived at the spot to think that you arrived, you're in trouble. No, the more I find, the more I learn about myself, I usually find out that my words, I'm not as holy as I think. I'm not as sanctified in my living. I realize I'm sanctified by faith. But I would sure like to live it a little bit better. How about you? Wouldn't you like to live it a little bit better? See, most people are only, they'll say, well, I'm sanctified by faith. And I say, yeah, and that's all you got going for you too. It's just by faith because ain't none of it showing. I want to have some of it showing because this I know. I learned this over time. What I can do is what brings blessing into my life and other people's lives. It's what I can apply. Sanctification is of no value without application. Sanctified is no good by faith if I don't ever get to live it. The fruit of that sanctification is by being able to live it. That's what I want payoff. I don't know about you. You know, it's not enough to sit around, you know, and, you know, talk about these things. If there's not a payoff to it, well, we might as well just go do something else. Hey, you know what? I don't want to do that. And see, we're living in a world that, and we've come to the place where we're they talk about, well, we're going to reach this generation and, you know, we're a sight and sound generation. We're this sight. Well, you don't get saved by sight. God's word don't change because our culture changes. And you don't reach people and change the way people are reached just because the society reaches people a certain way. The churches are heading toward the world. They're doing what the world is. And you know what? The Antichrist, I don't know if you haven't noticed, he's already working. That spirit's already working powerfully. And I tell you, there's many Christian young people are being deceived by the churches because they're using their sight and sound of everything to reach them. And you know what? They have no more faith in what they can see and physically hear. That's all they got faith in. Many of the adults are the same way. You let something in the natural happen or change in men, their faith falls apart. Why? Because their faith is always tied more to what they see. Because we live in this sea generation. If we see something happens, like I said, you know, a boat over in Europe sinks, and 1,000 people don't take their vacation. I mean, you know, here in the United States. Why? Because people are caught on what you see. And the church has joined the club. Because we're reaching people. We're reaching them. Well, we want to do better. God wants us our lives to be changed. God wants to be able to work in us. He's not mad at us, but he wants to work it. He wants to do things in us and through us. He wants us to bring to a place where we talk about blessing. Blessing should be something that the church walks in, not trying to get. We're already blessed with every spiritual blessing. Healing's not something to try to get from God. If you're trying to get healing from God, you're living on a low level of faith. It's a low level of the knowledge of God. It's like a sinner trying to seek out God. Really, most Christians come into the kingdom and stay really where they're at when they come into the kingdom. And they're just trying to get things from God because they really don't understand it. They don't understand that it's the norm for him. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That he blessed me with every blessing. In other words, I'm already blessed with healing. And do I talk like, have I made that the talk of my life? That I'm blessed with healing? Or I'm trying to get healing from God? I'm trying to get something from him. See, we have a sort of a facsimile of faith, but it's not faith. God wants us to come to the place to see him and who and what he really is, because when you do, it'll change your life. God's in the life-changing business. That's what he's in. God looks at your life and he looks at us and he sees you and me and says, you know, they can be this, they can be that. He may have anointed us to be something that we never come to, but he wants us to go there. He wants us to walk in that. He wants us to have it. Yet we may never arrive there. Because if we choose a wrong direction, if we choose a wrong way, I want to go over to look at some scriptures in the book of Ephesians today, in the 5th chapter. And we're going to look at this as Christ in the church. This is a thing that we know in the 5th chapter. It deals with the husband and wife, and it's wonderful stuff. It deals with the husband and wife, but it's about the real purpose of this scriptures is the mystery, which is Christ in the church. And you need to understand this, because if we're going to move in line with God, we're going to step into what he wants us to do. We don't want to go back to legalism. You know, some time back here last year, a woman came to me and said, "Well, you know, I've been listening to these preachers, and they're right. We need to get back to the Ten Commandments because the church is just getting into too much sin." I said, "Well, Israel tried it out for 4,000 years, living under the law. They got real spiritual, didn't they?" I said, "When the Messiah, the answer to all their problems that they've been waiting for came, they didn't even know it." And I said, "If you're going to go under the law, you ain't going to know it either." They think the law is going to make you live a better life. Well, we know this. Sloppy grace don't work, and law don't work. Why sloppy grace don't work is easy. Because it's not the Word. It's man's idea of grace. It's not God's. The Word of God is a powerful seed, the Bible says. It's an incorruptible seed. It could never happen that I did what the Word said and it didn't work. That has never taken place. Nobody has ever believed God the way the Word says for healing and didn't get it. That'd be a lie from the pit of hell. And I'm sorry, a person's a liar that ever said that. Because what they're saying is the Word's corruptible. The Word is not corruptible. If I'm believing like the Bible says and I'm doing what the Bible says, I will end up where the Bible says. I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I didn't die and go to hell. I got saved. Why? Incorruptible words. You believe it like the Bible says. You do it like the Bible says. You get what it says. Most people are skeptical of the Word and call themselves faith people. They're not faith people. The Word's incorruptible. You can't believe it right and do it right and not end up with what's right. Folks, when I found that out, that was the jubilee for Ed Gibson. To find out that if I believe what the Bible said right. See, many people think they're believing right, but they don't. I know one guy I tried to convince. He would say he was walking in faith and doing things in faith and stuff. And I tried to tell him, he's over in works, you know. Well, if I just confess, I just keep confessing the Word. I tell him, when are you going to start believing it? I didn't have to confess the Word 4,980 times to get born again. All I had to believe, one night, believed it one time, said it, got born again. The reason people have to sit and confess, because they ain't convinced yet. I'll tell you what, it's always best to get convinced, then talk. Quit talking, trying to convince yourself. Get convinced. Learn what the Word of God says. I found this out. When I learned how to apply the Word of God, when I learned how to put it together, it worked for me. It worked. Now, I wasn't going to teach none of this, but I'll tell you what, it's going in a good direction anyhow. Because you need to know it. We're living in a world and in a time where faith has been perverted. Faith's been perverted. Sometimes I think it's some ministries, I think it's for gain. You know, if they can keep you a little stupid, they can keep your hand in your pocket. That isn't what God intended. This faith movement isn't about getting money out of people or things or anything like that. It's not what it's about. I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know, if nobody ever wants to give me money, God's going to have to do something. That's His problem. He's the one that made the guarantee on the stuff, not me. If He don't come through on it, He's a scoundrel. He has to come through on it. So I don't have to sit and beg somebody over the TV so I can stay on the air. You see, we need to get over and get our thinking straight about these things. God, it's up to God to perform His Word. When I stand upon it and I have done it and done what it said, He must perform His part. If He doesn't perform His part, then what's the God we serve? What good is His Word? What good is His Word? And so I want you, and always, God's on your side. God's working on your behalf. Hallelujah. He sees you today. He's called you and I as people to repent and turn and to follow Him, to commit ourselves to Him, because He wants to do things. It's not to hurt us, it's to bless us. It's so the dreams and visions of your life, the things that God's called you to, you can fulfill them. That's what it's for. They're not going to be fulfilled any other way. You can try. Now the Bible says this, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. There's people work and build all kind of heavenly, it looks like heavenly stuff, looks like kingdom of God stuff, but God never called people to do it. We're not building a kingdom and we're not building our kingdom. Hallelujah. We're walking and following God. Now in Ephesians in 5th chapter verse 21, Now listen to these things that are being said. First of all, verse 21 says, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. It's talking about the body of Christ as Christians. We submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Then it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body, here it says. So in other words, the body of Christ, Jesus is the Savior. So the husband is the head of the wife, like Jesus is head of the church. Now that's totally un-American. And that's mostly it's un-church today. The church has, you know, the equality of the two. I am sorry. We have equality in God's sight, but we don't have the same authority in God's sight. Number one, see, I'm not head of the church. I can't ever usurp authority in that area. As one thing, see, a woman can't usurp authority over her husband. Say, well, I have my say. Yeah, you have your say. But the Bible says, God says the husband is head over the wife. That's what it says. That's it. Just like Christ head of the church. So I can't rebel against authority. See, the Bible always also teaches us. We go over, it says about governing authorities. It says, pay taxes to whom taxes due. Do these things. Why? Those guys are in charge. They have authority. People rebel against the authority. See, we have people consider themselves good people. They're nice people. But they're in rebellion against the government at the same time. Want to change the government? They get in office, they're going to be the same rebels we got. They're rebelling all the time against authority. You know, you want to go run against an office against a guy, run against an office against a guy. But it isn't, don't rebel against them to do it. This is why people can't get healed. People can't deliver. This is why, you know, in households, people can't. People are all messed up in their lines of authority, and they wonder why they can't get healed. They can't get, why? They're doing their own thing. They're Americans. They just happen to be Christian on the sideline. They're too much American. The Church of Jesus Christ is too much American in America. We think the American culture, and I got a vote, is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it's not. God's perfect form of government is theocracy, not democracy. It's theocracy. One guy in charge. I'll tell you what, the vote's killing our country. The vote's destroying our country. Why? Because now our country is mostly evil people. The majority of the church voted for the president we have today. You know, we got to change the way we think, man. We're a squirrely bunch of people. But you know what? We'll never repent until we see who we are. If you think you're doing fine, what are you going to repent of? This is one of the reasons the American church has no repentance in it. I think they're wonderful. I think they're really doing good. Most of it's on its way to hell. Don't even know it. I think they're really good people. Dragging other people with them. Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys go to another country to make a proselyte and you make a worse child of hell. I've seen it. I've seen missionaries go to other countries to take the American way of life to other countries. And it's like, made worse children of hell. Instead of taking the gospel, we try to take our culture. We try to take our governmental system. This is what the church is doing. God's never called us to that. He's never called us to that. You know, let God sort the rest of it out. Let's get people saved and let God sort the rest of it out. I mean, it's worked real well. George W. Bush wanted to take democracy to the world. I'll tell you, it sure has made things great, hasn't it? Things have just gotten better, haven't they? Boy, I'll tell you, Afghanistan's wonderful today. Hallelujah. Iraq's a glorious place to be. Let's all go. But we do. We have a strange way of doing things. He says that in verse 24 here. He says, therefore, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything. He's talking about their own husband. Now, I came out of a church world where they were, you know, that men, women were supposed to be in subject to men. The Bible teaches that nowhere. This is talking about the marriage relationship, the husband and the wife. It's not men have authority. A man don't have authority. I don't have authority over anybody else's wife. I have a wife. And so a lot of the idea was that men, if you read this stuff, I mean, I can read what it says. It doesn't even leave you the idea that men are over all women. That's just people and their cultures, and they did things. And one of the things that I found too is you read in the Old Testament, God tells Israel how, things to live and how to do. There's a lot of things they followed areas of culture that had nothing to do with what God told to do, and the church tries to put it to practice. It's culture. It ain't religion. It ain't what God said to do. It was their culture. They had a bunch of things. The culture was different. Under their culture, the oldest son would always get the inheritance. God pulled that out from under the rug numbers of times. But they did it their way. They had their culture. And dumb Americans, yeah, they read the Bible. Let's do what they did. Well, they didn't even read the Bible. That was their culture. Many times culture runs cross-grained to the plan of God. Hallelujah. And I know it's a great shock to many of the, most people, they think the Constitution, that they wonder why the Constitution hasn't been put in the Bible. My God, they hold it up there as holy writ. Verse 25 says, husbands, now it tells the husband what to do. Love your wives just as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for it. So now it tells from the head side what the head side does. That he might, and for this purpose, the reason that he says that this is done, and you need to understand this, why it's done. This is a whole picture. This isn't just about a picture of the husband and wife. This is a picture of Christ and the church, how it functions, how it works. Because he says here that this husband is supposed to love his wife just as Christ loves the church. In other words, the way that Christ loves the church is the way a husband loves the wife. But it says, so he said, loves her, and he gives himself for her. And the purpose is verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water through the word. Christ loved the church so the church could be cleansed. The purpose. So the church can be washed by the word. So see, in a marriage situation, it doesn't have to do with about a man dominating a woman. And it's the same way. If the man is supposed to love his wife like Christ loves the church, Christ gives his life for the church. Now, we don't want to look at it in a frivolous way. See, people today look, Christ gave his life for the church so we can just go do what we want. No. It's so, just like it says here, for the purpose, he gave his life so the church can be cleansed, so the church can be washed by the word. Love is not cheap. It's only cheap in America. And it's only cheap in the church. True love washes and cleanses. It makes something better. It doesn't make something worse. True love will never cause a worse relationship. People say, well, I just loved them too much. No, you're an ignoramus and ain't got a brain between your ears. You don't even know what love is. You could never love too much. Love is something that fixes things, something that repairs things. It's the thing that is needed. Why? That love of God through the word will wash and cleanse. It'll make things better. So we know this, that much of the grace that's been preached in the church has not been by the love of God, because things have not got cleansed. Things have not gotten washed. We know that the word people are hearing can't be right because it's not performing what God sent it to do. There's a lot of wrong doctrine preached. Paul told Timothy in the last days, doctrines of devils. Man, we got them. We got them because it's not working. The gospel that's preached doesn't work. Now, I'm sorry. The gospel that was preached to me worked. The gospel that was preached to me changed my life and caused me to live a better life. It didn't cause me to live a worse life. The gospel that I received through Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I never came up with the idea of living a worse life and thinking I could get away with stuff. Never came up with that idea. Never had that idea. Never wanted that idea. From what I heard, I had experienced the blessing of God by walking into this thing. And Why would I want to go to something cheaper? I'd listen to this cheap gospel that people have. And somehow they think they're going to get some kind of better life out of it. And I think, dear Lord, poor people don't know. Poor people don't know. They think God's trying to hurt us. You know. Well, you preaching there and that kind of stuff that way. Well, I mean, wow, you make people feel condemned. I don't make them feel. They already feel condemned living in sin. They have no authority before God. Nothing works. They're already living under condemnation. The devil's already got a hold of them. Because they believe God for things and nothing ever happens. I mean, you're walking and you're believing God and nothing ever happens. You aren't Mr. or Mrs. Rejoice. I've been there. Well, nothing's a-working. Well, I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, if you've been going along and you say you're believing God and nothing's ever changing, you need to stop and see where you missed it. Why? Because God is never wrong in what God's not holding back people. People say, well, God must be holding back a blessing for me for a purpose. Well, you just heard from a demon and quoted it. You just heard from a devil. God's not holding back. How could God ever say, how could Paul have ever written that God blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and God's holding back? Well, if he's holding back, then we have not been blessed. Paul's a liar. We're going to have to throw all them letters out he wrote. Once we've done that, there went the faith message down the tubes. See, God has blessed you and me. Now, he said, why? This love that a man has for the church is for his wife is like Christ has for the church. And the purpose of that is for cleansing. Why? So he can sanctify, cleanse her by the washing of the water through the word. The word of God will wash us and cleanse us. See, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin always exalted the Word of God. How you had to stay in the Word and meditate on what God revealed to you, the Word. Reveal it to you. Why? So you could walk in it. So you could do it. Why? It would change your life. It would cleanse your life. It would work. See, and that's why he gave it to us. Now listen, it goes on to say here. So what's this purpose of he cleanses it? That he might present her to himself. A glorious church. The church for Jesus Christ is like a wife. So, you know, a man is supposed to love his wife like Christ loves the church so he can present her to himself. Not like some kind of prostitute, not some kind of slave, not some kind of something. That he can present her to himself. See, if a man wouldn't love his wife or walk in love with his wife, he's only hurting himself. He's only hurt. And let me tell you, a woman who's not submitted, she hurts herself. That's the way it works. Glory to God, give a shout. Hallelujah. But that's the way it works. There's this union and this binding that we see that God has for the church. He can spend what? Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. You know, 1 John 1:9 was given to us if we sin. But you know, it starts off in chapter 2 of that of 1 John. And it talks of anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Kenneth Hagin made the statement, said, if anyone sin, he said, what church would you ever say that into today? If any man sins. He said the church in the beginning didn't believe that believers sinned all the time. They didn't. That's been preached in our church age. That's by a lot of the things that came in through Calvinism and those things. And a lot of the groups and that stuff, they have preached along. I remember Randall Greer talked about when he was in prison, he said the Baptist preachers used to come in and he said, my God, he said the way they preach, now you're just going to sin all the time and you're just going to, this is the way it is. And it's only by the grace of God, I'm not in jail with you too. He said, when they left, he said, I couldn't see no purpose of why I'd even being saved. Like, you're not going to live a good life anyhow. I don't know what Bible people read. I thought this new birth was supposed to change you. But it's not preached as such. Today, it's a gospel of sin. You get saved so you're covered when you sin. They're so worried somebody's going to preach somebody has a license to sin. The church has told them, you don't need a license. Just go ahead and do it. You're going to sin anyway. We didn't believe we were going to live righteous. No wonder. Why would we live righteous? We were told we wouldn't. This is all just faith stuff. You're going to do it by faith, it'll never happen. You can't walk in it, you can't live it, you can't have it. And it's led people to failure. It's led Christians to condemnation. On the other side, they're preaching a sloppy gospel, thinking they're freeing people from condemnation, and instead putting them under more. Because they can't live above anything. I'm always going to be on the line. Satan's going to always run over me. I just have to get God to fix it for me. I'm always trying to get God to fix it for me. I'm always trying to get God to fix the situation. It doesn't really live a life of true faith. It doesn't live a life of more than conquerors. We never become more than conquerors to most of the gospel it's preached. It's Jesus is the conqueror and we're trying to get Him to do it for us. We never rise up as conquerors. That's what that sloppy grace will do to you. Sloppy grace never makes you, you don't never become the champion. You ain't the guy that walks out into the ring ready to fight. You're the guy waiting for God to go in and do the fighting. You don't ever step in the ring and say, hey, Satan, I've had it with you. It's, God, would you go do something about him? He's been giving me a hard time. I just don't understand. Really, it's today we have a Christian cowardice. But it's been put in people by a sloppy gospel. It's not people that can stand. Kenneth Hagin said about it, he said, God expected the gospel to change Christians where they would have a backbone like a crowbar. And he said instead, most Christians have a backbone like a string. It's the sloppy gospel. It's sloppy gospel. Sloppy gospel leads people to weakness instead of strength. People can't trust in the ability of God because they don't know if it'll show up. Because, you know, never know what he might do. You know, I'm just so weak and unworthy. But the reason God loves the church and Christ loved this church is so he could sanctify it, so he could cleanse it, so he could wash it. That's what love will do. The love of God will sanctify it. He does it through what? The washing of the water by the word. He said, in verse 28, he says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now I want you to see, what did he say as the Lord does the church? The Lord looks at the body. It's something he looks at the body. It's something he cherishes, he loves, he nourishes. Well, now, anybody who's ever preached this thing and said they knew what words said, how could we say the things about God that we do sometimes in the church world? How can we talk about God holding out on things or he didn't want you healed? A man's supposed to love his wife so much, he just wants to take care of her. He don't want her sick. But God, this sick, perverted God we got, has a son he sent down here and he's making us sick. And he has for a reason why we don't get blessed. He's not blessing us because there's a good reason he wants to do something else. This perversion. We read right here of the relationship that God calls between a husband and wife and he's telling you, this is all about Christ and the church. This is how Christ loves the church. He's nourishing the church. He ain't making it sick. He's not trying to have the church to be some bunch of people that can't live good lives that are messed up. That's not his purpose. But the gospel that is preached to so many is a gospel of weakness, gospel of failure. It's a God that, yeah, he wants to do good for you, but he's probably pretty well fed up. And, you know, maybe he'd want to do something nice for you, but he holds out. He, you know, he has you sick for a reason, or this is going on in your life for a reason, or this happened for a reason. And what happens? It leaves people nothing but questions about God. I mean, read the book. The church got to get back to the book. The church has left the book. They turn around and use this stuff at marriage seminars, and they don't even see the spiritual meaning of it. And they're trying to save marriages. If you don't know Christ, you can't save it. The revelation of the love of God is what will change your marriage. God taught me, if I wanted to be a husband to my wife, I had to know Him, not my wife. I got to know Him. I could love her no matter what. That was the thing. See, there's a revelation here. We need to get what the revelation is. It says, in verse 30 says, for we are members of his body. Now it says, he gave us all this information. We're members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone. Now does Jesus love himself? He sure does. Is Jesus sick? what Jesus would want for his own flesh. You know what? Jesus has glorified flesh. What he wants for his flesh, he wants for my flesh. So anybody tells you that God makes you sick, slap them on the head just to wake them up, you know. Not because you hate them, just slap them on the head and say, hey, stupid, did you ever read the Bible? And if they say yes, say, I feel sorry for your lying. Come on, I'll show you what it says. You never read it. You listen to some dumb preacher say something, you've been walking around quoting. This is the way Jesus loves the church. He loves the church. He has given his life for it. Jesus still gives his life for the church. It's a non-stop. He still gives his life for the church. He gives the church his life, not death. He gives the church life. He's given the church life. He's given you life. That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus, see, there can't be any restoration. You know, Jesus is not trying to clean us up to set us on a mantle someplace and say, you know, they're my trophies over there. We're part of him. Jesus don't have a life without the church. Did you ever have a have a really great life? You know, lose your legs, have a great life. You know, you don't cut your legs off, put them on a mantle somewhere, do you? You see, God set this plan in motion. Verse 31 says this: for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. Now listen what verse 31 says. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The great mystery isn't the marriage between a man and a woman. If you don't get the mystery of Christ and the church, you'll never get the mystery of a man and a woman in marriage. The mystery is Christ. If you don't know the love of God, you can't love somebody else with it. A man could never love his wife like Christ loves the church unless he knows how Christ loves the church. Could he? A wife could never be submitted to her husband if she doesn't understand about submission to God. If she's just been listening to submission in America, well, that's the way it's going to be. See, we wonder why we've had all this problem, because the church hasn't walked in the revelation. We've tried to make this marriage thing work without God. Living in the American culture. The purpose of this, if we come in line, if the church knows the love of God and begins to walk in it, then the Word of God, look, the Word of God will be something that you'll begin to cherish. It will not be something that you just read on the sidelines, or you get up in the morning and have your daily devotional and go on and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? This is something to be lived. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a life. The rest of the world has religions. Christianity does not. Ours is a life. It's a life that cannot be lived without Christ. It cannot. It's an impossible. You can't put it in, make it rules and regulations. This is why faith don't work for people. Because it's no matter than step one, step two, I've done this, I've done that. Because it's not a life. Faith is a way of life. Faith is not some principles. It's not some principles. It's a way of life. It's a way of living. It's a way of normal acting and breathing. Just like my natural body, I breathe and I eat food. You know, I sit down at the table. I don't think twice about, you know, picking that fork up automatically without even a consciousness. My body's hungry. I'll start to feed it. I put my food in my mouth. I don't sit there and not yet remember to chew. Now you can swallow, Ed. Okay. Now you can take another bite. This is most Christians living their Christian life. It's not a life. It's just principles. Do this, do that. Your Christian faith should be something that you do automatically. It just becomes part of your life. It's part of living. It's life. It becomes that when people know Christ. When people follow the Word of God. The washing of the water by the Word. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:3, he said, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. In his prayer in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. People are sanctified by the truth of the Word of God. Sanctification of life is by the Word of God. As I said in opening today, the Word of God, Jesus Christ said it himself. The guy who's going to have victory, the guy that's going to make it, he's the guy who hears the word and does what it says. He didn't say it's the guy who hears the word. He didn't say it's the guy that's the Christian. You know, kids in church, I mean, we were taught in church. You know, what Jesus was talking about there was you being a Christian accepting Jesus. Because one of the verses to the song, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a bunch of junk. That wasn't teaching that at all. But see, doctrinally, men put that in there. And people bought it. And they thought, if I became a Christian, I don't understand why my houses have fallen. Huh. Because doctrinally, they're messed up. They taught their children, build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get born again and fail at everything in life. You can become a child of God and dominated by everything that comes along. I know. If people haven't figured that out by now, that's why we have such crazy doctrines. That's why people come along and they get sick. Well, it must be the will of God. You know, this is God's will for me. Because, you know, I'm a Christian. And gee, I thought, you know, the storms in life. Basically, the church, they don't believe they're supposed to make it through the storms in life. You're supposed to get them run over. You get run over enough, there's great reward for you in heaven because you got the most tire tracks on you. You've been run down the most, so there's a good chance when you get to heaven, you must going to be happy. For I hear people say this, they suffered so much in life, there must be great reward for them. False doctrines, doctrines of devils. The devil will get you to believe that if you get beat up a lot, that's where you get your reward. You see, there's false. They're in the church world is full of it. It's in the church world all over. I never do a funeral that I don't at least hear Christians say 27 stupid remarks. And I understand why faith people say the dumbest things in the world. Why? Because they've been filled with doctrine. They don't stay close to the Word of God. They just go around and repeat these little cliches that they like. They repeat cliches, but the cliches are not true. But the strange thing about it, they want the Holy Spirit to comfort them, but they love and take more comfort in their little religious sayings than they will allow the Holy Spirit to fix something for them. Many people can't get fixed by the Holy Ghost because He cleanses by the Word, not religious cliches. He don't cleanse by that. We're cleansed by the Word. The Word cleanses us. That's why we want to make sure what I believe. You know, I've told you people, you know, back some years ago, the Lord spoke to me and asked me what I believe. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe it? I knew what He was saying to me. I needed to go back to the Word and the foundations of the things that I believe and go back and start studying again. I went back and started to study, looking through the Word. Why do I believe what I believe? Man, I got some shocks. I had bought things good people said, but they were wrong. I found doctrines that were preached in the church world, they don't even exist in the Bible. And yet the faith people preach them all the time, yet they're not in the Bible. Totally shocked. Why? We have this, our favorite preacher says something, and we go repeat it. Never check it out to see if it's true, because he said it. Now that don't mean that they were trying to be bad. I don't want you to get that. But you know what? We're all fallible. Kenneth Hagin always told us. He used to tell us, you check in the Bible to see if what I'm preaching is right. You look in the Word. Well, that's the last thing people do. Why? Because they're Americans. They're lazy. I want to sit down and listen to the TV to him preach me, and then I want to go sit down somewhere and I need to sit and relax. I'm tired. You know, come tell me what I need. I'll send you a check. Let me alone. You go into all the world and preach the gospel, I'll stay here and send you checks. We ain't going to do the Word, no way. Ooh, ouch. But see, people are late. That's the American society. Now look, many people have been preached into this. The preacher tells them, you send me the money, I'll take care of the ministry. You send the money. Now I know people love to believe it that way too. Let's do it His way. He's a godly man. He wouldn't lie to me. And I ain't going to look in the Bible to find out either. We check it out in the Word. God gave us a revelation. This is a mystery here. And the mystery really is the love of God for the church. If God loves me like He says He does, then I want to know what His Word says, because I can't know His love without knowing what the Word says. There's many voices out here today of what they call what love is, and it's not love at all. This I know, the Bible tells me. Tells me in the New Testament, it's not some Old Testament scripture to bring me into bondage. It says, because, you know, God loves me, He chastens me. Oh, if He loves me, He wouldn't do anything. The Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit God? Is the Holy Spirit God? Is He? Do we agree on that? Go read the first Corinthians, the 5th chapter. The Apostle Paul said, by the Spirit of God to the church here, turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That couldn't be God. You won't hear faith preachers preach that. Because they don't understand the love of God. They don't understand. The man's living in sin. He's a Christian living in sin. He's living in sin, and if he doesn't turn around, Satan may overtake his life. God would rather have him dead and in heaven right now than have him keep in his way of sin and after a while turning against Christ. Don't you think people can do it? There's people who went to Rhema who today are following other religions. Don't you think people can't get themselves over where they turn from Christ? Don't you think? You say, oh, they're born again, they'll be in heaven. Lots of luck. You can't be worshiping Allah and end up in heaven. That'll never happen. That'll never happen. And see, but we have this love thing that if God loves, it don't matter what happens, it's all going to work out. Is there anything in life that works like that? Is there anything out there that I could just do whatever I want, but it's all going to work out right? If it was, I wish I'd have learned that, because I learned some things hard ways, I'll tell you. I wish I could find that thing that people talk about. But Christianity, well, all things work together for good. One of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible, because there's no revelation on the end. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It ain't going to work out good for you if you ain't walking where you're called. Give me a break. All things work together for good. That's right. I'm going to go out and murder somebody today, but it's going to work for my good. Oh, yes, this is going to be a good thing. Going to come out of this. Bunch of knuckleheads. Quote such things. Well, it's all going to work for good. For the devil, he's cheering it on. Saying, if I can just keep that doctrine in the church, I can keep them knuckleheads believing that. I can just keep them dumb people thinking those thoughts. Keep them away from the Bible. Keep them busy. Tell them the coffee pot's on. They'll quit. They'll put the Bible down in a minute to go turn it off. They won't read it long enough. Go tell them, you know, maybe this happened. Let's get somebody to give them a call. Because they got to answer the phone as soon as it rings. We can't let the phone go while we have our Bible time of reading and praying. We have to answer it because there could be a big emergency. Somebody died in Egypt and I got to get there. Great people of faith. Good preaching anyhow, folks. People of faith. I'll tell you what, the cell phones have robbed faith out of a lot of people. Man. Most people don't have cell phones. At least they say they don't. They have to say they have cell phones for convenience. They, oh no, we want to have cell phones because you never know, emergency comes. I want to have it on hand. Well, tell the devil, give you some emergencies. I'll guarantee it because you have enough faith for it. I raised my kids without cell phones and they didn't die. We knew about faith. I don't have a cell phone because I'm afraid an emergency might rise. If I started getting that thinking, I would get rid of my cell phone immediately because it'd destroy my faith. There's no faith in God today. It's all the gadgets. Oh, thank God for the gadgets. The gadgets, there's nothing wrong with the gadgets. But when our faith is in the gadget, we're troubled. We're in trouble. This is good preaching, folks. Can't put faith in the gadget. Get a faith in God. If the gadget stops, what do? It's like you walk into the store today. Electric goes off, you can't buy or sell. They can't do a thing. Everybody stopped. My words, I've been in place already. I mean, people didn't even know how to write stuff down or do something. They can't give you change because they don't know how to count. If the machine don't tell you how to do it, they ain't got a clue. I don't know. What do I do now? The machine stopped. But see, we live by things, and people live in fear of this stuff. What happens? Look what happened in 2000. They thought the computers were going to shut down. The church got to be one of the nuttiest groups in America. Oh, my God, they're on TV preaching, selling food, people buying it like crazy. They're just, oh, my God, you know. The world's going to end in 2000 now, for sure. Man, we're all going on. Man, the computers go. There's no more God in heaven. My God. We thought he was good, but he ain't a computer. Dear Lord. What am I going to do? The computer quit. And the computer didn't quit. And I hope they didn't have to eat all that dried food. Dear God. God wants to work in the church, and he wants to work in you and me. He wants to do it. He does it by the word. You know, I got a computer, got Bibles on it, all kind of stuff you can use for study and things like that. But I'll tell you, majority of my teaching and preaching has nothing to do with using that stuff. And I like it. I go and read the Bible. I can read different things and stuff. But you know what? I got to preach and teach by the anointing. The computer can't give me an anointing. The computer can give me information, but if I just follow the computer's information that tells me what to preach, there's a good chance you'll never see an anointing. You'll have me, just like those guys on television, got their canned messages that know how to get money out of people's pockets. And then I'll show you pictures of starving kids and say, oh, you got to give. Or give you some sort of, do those things. And not, you don't give by love because you just need to do it. If they have to show us starving kids to get us to give, we're in sad shape. Which goes to say, a lot of the church world's in sad shape. They're sad shape. Because they don't know the love of God. It's the love of God. When you learn to know and go into the Word of God and know how God works and how He does, hallelujah, you get to flow with heaven. You get to flow with heaven. There's nothing like it. The wisdom of God will flow in you. The wisdom of God works. You're not trying to achieve. You're not doing what the world system does. You're trying to work to arrive somewhere. You'll find out you have arrived. Do you want to go any place further than the throne of God? Is there any other place that's a better seat? Is there any place that's better? Is there a position that's anywhere higher? And the church tried to crawl the ladder of success, trying to be a success. Jesus Christ made me a success. I get to sit with Him in heavenly places. Glory. Is there any better? See, this steals away because of this climbing the ladder of success. Some people are called to things and other people aren't. In this earth, I got a calling, but it matters not. When it comes to my place in Christ Jesus, we all the same. We're seated in the same throne. I don't sit in a higher place on the throne than somebody else. We all sit on the throne. The sad part that I look in Christianity is I look across our Christian world that I'm around and I see so many people seated on the throne living like they've never been near a throne. Living like they don't know who or what they are. You're enthroned in Christ Jesus. He don't have you down here and His love is some great distance. He gave you the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost is God, the Holy Ghost was given to you to shed the love of God abroad in your heart. See, we come in contact through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. You come in contact with the love of God. You learn to know what the love of God truly is. The love of God cleanses and washes. That's why, used in the relationship with a man and woman, used in that relationship, shouldn't a man and woman's relationship be a beautiful thing? Run by the love of God? Ought to turn out pretty good. Ought to do pretty nice. It ought to do real well. But a lot today have never heard the true love message. They don't know the true love. It's found in the Word. It's not just something that's preached. It's something that's sought after. It's something that's given by revelation when you look into the Word. And you go into the Word, and the Word of God starts to cleanse you, starts to wash you. If anything, the church world needs is a cleansing, a restoration of their minds. There has just so much been preached, and people's minds are so confused with so much stuff, filled with all kinds of things instead of the love of God. It'll wash and cleanse our minds. It'll change us. It'll take us and make us a people, hallelujah, that are really different. And that's what I want to be. I want to be somebody that's different. I don't want to be like things are. See, we can have great marriages. Great marriages are caused by the Word of God. Great marriage, I know a lot of people, they go to marriage seminars and I think, God never sent me to a marriage seminar. God took me to the Holy Ghost seminar. He used to have me, and tell me, go to your bedroom. And I used to go to the bedroom. And there, he'd have me read and look at the Word. I'd read and study the Word. I'd sit in the bedroom and read. I'd pray, read the Word of God, and God would wash me and cleanse me. God changed my mind in my bedroom. He changed it by the Word. The Holy Ghost takes what Jesus has, what Jesus has said. Jesus is the Word. He takes it and reveals it to us. And the more I put the Word into me, the more I got the Word, the more I let the Word work in me, the more it washed me, the more it cleansed me. Now understand this. When I'd leave that room, I had to start practicing what I learned there. I don't care how you learn or what you learn and what you hear. If you're not putting it into practice, you wasted your time. You're going to be in worse shape for hearing and not doing than if you have never heard. The Word is to be done. And I just encourage you today. God is restoring, and He's restoring. I believe one of the things He wants to restore the church to is doers of the Word. Not just confessors of the Word. I'm going to tell you, confess the Word. It's a powerful thing to do, is to say what God said. Then act like it's true. When you confess what it said, then act like it's so. Begin to act like what the Word said. You can't be moved by your feelings. If you're moved by your feelings, the Word's not going to do you any good. No matter how you feel about it. God said you're healed. I don't care if you feel like you're going to drop dead. You have a choice. You can either go by your feelings and, well, let's call the mortician and see what we can get done here. You know, we're about to croak. Hey, it might sound funny to you. I've been in hospitals with people telling me they're believing God to be healed, and at the same time, they're making their funeral arrangements. And the people say, I don't understand. They're believing God. Why'd they die? They died. It wasn't because of what they're confessing. It's what they did. What they did is what came to pass. Not what they said. It's what they did. I've had that on more than one occasion. People were making funeral arrangements, telling on them, we're believing God. Yeah, sure. We're believing God, but our actions are saying different. We're planning for disaster, but we're trusting the Lord. Okay. See, that sounds foolish. You know, when you hear something like that, it sounds like almost seems unreal. Folks, I've seen so many things that seem unreal to me. But see, people are making actions. What people do is they say, well, I'm going to trust the Lord, but just in case, I'm going to do this. What they do is, well, that's going to diminish. You can't say, this is what I believe, this is what I'm going to do. And it's different. That's why the Lord Jesus told Kenneth Hagin himself. He said, if a person goes to a doctor, he said, I want to help him. He told him this specifically, and you've heard me say it. And I've said it time and time again, and I'm going to keep saying it till people get it. He said, divine healing is without any kind of aid or help of any doctor or anything. That's divine healing. That's divine healing. Jesus told Kenneth, hey, that's divine healing. Jesus ministered to people in divine healing. You see his ministry? Did he ever send anybody to the doctor? Did he ever do it? No, he ministered divine healing. He's told. Now, but then he said this. He said, look, he said, if a person goes to a doctor, I want to help them. He said, Kenneth Hagin to specifically pray for people and have them believe that when they went to the doctor, that he'd give them that God would give them a speedy recovery. See what God wants to have. He's not shutting people out. He's always trying to find a way. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in 1987, "I always try to bless my people as much as I can." I'm always trying. That's what he's doing. But see what people are saying, "Well, actually, I'm going to believe God for divine healing. I'm going to make an appointment with a doctor." No. Follow what's right. Operate in faith in the direction you're going. You can't have, "Here's my faith, here's my direction." You know, tomorrow I'm heading to California by faith. I'm going to get on Route 22 and head east. I should not be surprised I don't reach California. But most people don't understand that. They're still trying to get to California on 22 heading east. Talking about their faith in God. See, their actions are not corresponding to what they said. See, no matter how much I want to go to California and I want to get there, I'm going to have to at least get on a plane or something that's going to head there, or go to get on a vehicle that's kind of somewhere or other. We're going to have to do that. I can't just choose any path that I want. We're living in this. I don't understand, because we as Christians teach people and tell people that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and yet within the kingdom we try to teach that you can just go any way you want and end up to what you want in the kingdom. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Always get your faith in line with your direction that you're going to go. Make sure the two are together. If you do, you'll be blessed. If you do, you'll be blessed. Now that doesn't mean you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You might start to head in a direction. You better listen to the Holy Spirit. If He tells you not to go that direction, don't go. Sometimes I'll set myself toward a direction, and I just get the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to go that direction. He wants me to do something else. You know, I sat down there and put notes together and all this that I was going to teach today. I sat down and I was studying through things. God gave me some revelation on some things. I didn't preach it this morning. Why? Because I get up, the anointing starts moving in a certain way. Well, you follow that. See, that's what about being living by faith is. This is what living by faith ain't knowing the end all the time. That you start out in a direction and there's things that you follow along the way. And it's just like with ministry, I have to learn to stay in with that, because I can lose the anointing. If I decide to preach what I want to do, and I know it, somehow I'll get off and the anointing starts to lift. The anointing starts to lift. You back all it over. Sometimes there's things the Holy Ghost wants me to say I don't really want to say, because it ain't fun. People, you know, you don't want to always, you know, say things to people. You want to speak nice. You know, we want people to like us, you know. And we want to say nice, but sometimes, you know I got to say certain things. And you know, sometimes I try to avoid it. And you know what? Inside me, it just what I'm supposed to say just keeps coming up inside of me. You know what? I don't want to go home and have not said that. Because there'll be a visitation there. There will be a visitation there. I will hear from the Lord again. See, we need to know. But see, you need to understand. These things I'm saying today are not to hurt you. They'll cleanse you if you listen to it. They'll cleanse you. They'll get stuff out of you that has been put into you that has kept you from reaching what your desires. See, that's why we want to listen. We want to let the Word of God cleanse us. We need to come back to really a purity of the Word, because the Word is incorruptible. And if we do what that incorruptible Word says, I guarantee you today, right today, I guarantee you, if we believe what it says and we do what that Word says, I will guarantee you that you're going to have exactly what that Word says. You're going to have it. And that's God's plan. That's God's purpose. God wants a church that at the end of 2012, it's a people who are doing the right things. Us alone just doing the right stuff would cause so much glory of God to be revealed. We want to see manifestations of the Spirit. God would like the church to see some manifestations in Christians in their own life. He wants to get us in the line of the words. They do. The world would see what God does in the church. He's moving us to a place. He wants His glory demonstrated. But it's like anything. It's like electricity. We have electricity coming into this building. Anything that would hamper that electricity from running into this building at the amperage and at the, you know, the amount of voltage that it's supposed to, is going to affect equipment or anything in the building. And it's the power of God. It's God told Kenneth Copeland. He said, I've called, Christians to be conductors of my power. And he said, they're more resistors than conductors. See, many people, they want God to do something for them, but they don't realize. They think there's all these different reasons why it's not working. And really, it's us sometimes. We're the resisting what God wants to do. We're resisting it and causing the power not to work. Now, maybe you guys are way above me and never, ever hampered the power of God. You may have never grieved the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to tell you, your pastor has done both of those things already. So if it really makes you feel that, maybe I don't want to listen to him anymore. He missed it. That's all right. But I have done those things. Surely I have grieved the Holy Ghost. Surely I have been a resistor to what God had wanted to do. I've been there. I've done that. And so have you. Well, thank God he's not throwing rocks at us. He gave us a message today telling us, no, I still want to restore you. I still want to do it. He's not saying, you idiots went too far, forget it. But I will say this, and this is the truth. God's mercy is phenomenal. His long suffering is incredible. But it will come to an end. It will stop. God will tolerate things for a long time and let things go, and he's not. I mean, Randall Greer talked about this year, coming up into this year. He said about 2012, he talked about deaths and dying, and people are going to be leaving. I have never seen the amount of people leaving. I get emails every day, people, ministers, leaving. I've never seen anything like it in any time. I truly, it's increased probably 100-fold to what it used to be. There's stuff going on. They're shaking. Is it God trying to hurt people? No. The devil is killing people. People are walking in areas. They're doing stuff. God can't just keep protecting and protecting and protecting while people go out there, you know? It's sort of like people try to protect their children. I mean, you come to a point, you know, you can go so far. But, you know, you can't be with them all the time. You have to learn to do right. If they keep running out on the road, you know, all the time, you know, you're going to lock them in a prison cell to keep them off the road. Well, you can't do that. I mean, one day they might end up with tire tracks on them. But you can't. God can't protect people all the time. He can't do it. He can't sit down. He can't go against his word and let people go play in the devil's territory all the time and not end up with tire tracks on them. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's Christians, and it's happening to people. Paul, we had communion the last time we had communion. God, you know, rid of what was going on, the church at Corinth. People were dying prematurely. People dying prematurely because they wouldn't judge themselves. They wouldn't judge themselves. This is what this is. It's a time of judgment. It's a time to judge ourselves. When we judge ourselves, we want to judge way of life. We want to judge how we live. But also, we want to judge what we believe. The devil wants to get false doctrine in you. He wants you to believe false things so he can trip you up, kill you, get you over in unbelief toward God so he can get his hands on you. That's what he wants to do. See, we want to close the door on those things. We want to stop those things. We want to go over. Now, you know, I know that's not a fun message, but it's true nonetheless. It's true. Maybe it isn't fun to hear, but I would rather be warned and so people turn than just let it go. There's people out here and they're living lives and they don't see it. They're the devil, you know, the things that they're doing and what it's going to cost them. Well, when God is calling and God is doing the thing of restoration, it's good to jump on the boat. Let's do it now. Let's jump on the boat now. Let's let God restore us. He's not restoring us. You know, sometimes I guess he has to sand a little stuff off on us. And, you know, that don't always feel so pleasant. I don't know about you. I think sometimes he doesn't hand rub. I think he gets a machine out on me sometimes. I feel like he's, you know, doing this like, ooh, is that really in the Bible? I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm reading along, think I'm doing real good, and then all of a sudden I read something, and boy, it's just like conviction. Oh, say, man, you know, I ain't really living that one. that one I could sure improve on. Well, let's go to another chapter. How about over here to this one? See, we can do that. People do that all the time. Well, let's ignore that. We won't preach that. Paul said that in the end times, people were going to draw teachers to themselves. He didn't realize the availability that was going to be with coming along with our inventions of computers, internet, TV, and everything. Man, people can practice. There's about 10 million different practices of Christianity. You can go on and get any kind of teaching you want to have. And a lot of it ain't good. It ain't good. But they use the name of Jesus. They'll use some scriptures. They'll use different things. But doctrines are twisted. Doctrines are twisted. That people don't live better lives. They live worse lives. That's not God. Let's stand to our feet.